Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Connecticut Interagency Drought Work Group, our regular meeting of February 3rd. It is 2:01 and we'll call our meeting to order. We are recording, so please make sure that yourself is muted. And then if you need to speak, you can either use the raised hand or just make sure to unmute yourself at those opportunities. First order of business is just to verify that we do have a quorum and our seating of our members. So representing Deep and Pura, I do see Doug Hoskins on. For DESP and Emergency Management, I see Doug Lockie on. So welcome.
Thank you.
DPH, I do not see Lori on yet. Steve Harkey, do you know if she'll be joining us?
Yeah, she knows that we have a meeting and she should be with us shortly. We just came off of our monthly webinar.
So. Okay, terrific. Thank you. OPM is myself, Martin Heft, and DOAG, Simon Levesque is on. So, correct. So we have, thank you. So we do have a quorum and we'll proceed then. First order of business is the minutes of our last meeting, January 6th. Can I get a motion to accept those and just identify yourself for the record as well, please?
Motion to accept, Doug Hoskins.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second. This is Simon.
Thank you, Simon. Any discussion, corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Terrific. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is item 4, is just review of the conditions. I do know we did receive in from agriculture, I just got a copy of it, their report. Obviously, you know, we continue to monitor all of the different criteria for that, but I do want to give an opportunity if there's anyone that wants to give any quick updates on any particular piece of conditions that they oversee or want to report on.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Doug Lowacki.
Yeah, go ahead, Doug. Thank you.
Yes. Well, as we know, the month of January is still below normal in some parts of the state for rainfall. But, however, over the next 2 weeks, we are expecting quite a bit of precipitation. Starting today and tonight and into tomorrow, about 2 inches of rain and other mixed precipitation across the state. And it looks like we have a couple of other potential storm events in the next 14 days. So, overall, precipitation looks like it's going to run above normal for the next 2 weeks. And that's my report.
Great. Thank you very much, Doug. That's helpful information. Simon, did you want to mention anything on the agriculture report? I know I received, you know, a hard copy of it, but I don't know if there was anything on there you wanted to report on that you needed to highlight.
Well, considering it is the first one I've ever done, there's not a whole lot of note, and I'm not, you know, I'm not really used to, you know, what it typically looks like. But everything looks within normal or near normal ranges. So no specific comments on that. I can bring it up, but it's pretty unremarkable. A lot of the data is not reported during winter months.
Right. Okay. No, thank you very much. Is there any other agency that wants to do any report? Otherwise, you know, it looks like, you know, our conditions are fine. We do continue to monitor, you know, as we do every month. Obviously, if anything that alerts us, we would call a special meeting, you know, of this group to take any, you know, necessary actions or review anything. Sylvia, I don't know if you had anything on your end you needed to bring up. I know you're on. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here. This meeting, unfortunately for me, often overlaps with other state meetings, so I try to get around as much as I can. Just adding today that we are still looking at, from this morning's edition of the U.S. Drought Monitor, an expansion of drought in our region, mainly up in northern New England, portions of New England and Maine, and also a little bit of an expansion in some of the states to the south of us, Pennsylvania, Virginia. So we're keeping an eye on everything regionally, hoping that we do get some precipitation out of those next few storms to hold off any issues with hydro drought, groundwater or stream flows. Just keeping an eye on it. Thanks.
Hello, Martin, too. It's John Delaney, USGS. I could give you a quick update, too. Just looking at our stream gauges from last month, we pretty much are in the normal condition, except for a little bit of areas in Fairfield County and kind of on the eastern Connecticut border in the Pawcatuck Basin. We've had some below normal conditions. Our groundwater levels are, by and large, in the normal range last month, with the exception of I think it's about three wells that have been below normal for the last 2 months. So there's really, really a pretty good conditions right now.
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate that. Bruce.
Yes, I just wanted to add that anyone who's been watching precipitation will see that we are running low precipitation-wise. That's largely a holdover from November, which was a very dry month. If you look, the three-month totals are worse than the 1 and 2 month totals. And just to follow up on what John said about groundwater, the real-time wells, when I checked them yesterday, were mostly below normal because we had crossed from January over to February, and that's normally a month of rise, or if I shouldn't say that, some wells don't rise at that time, but some of our wells fell, which is unusual. But groundwater from the standpoint of drought plan implementation, you don't tend to jump the first time something happens with groundwater. You tend to want to see that continue. But I just wanted to point out the thing about precipitation, because that is something we've been watching closely for some time.
Oh, great. Thank you very much, Bruce, for that. Is there anything else on any of this before we move on to the next section then? As I said, we'll continue to, you know, monitor as we always do, you know, with these conditions and make sure everyone still submits the conditions, you know, reports to Eric and Bruce, you know, on their normal basis that they normally do. Okay, then moving on, we're gonna go to item 5, which hopefully this will be the wrap up of this, working on this piece of the spreadsheet. This is our review of the Connecticut Water Plan Council's topical work group recommendations regarding our plan of all of the different, four different charges. We've successfully have gone through all of the charges together as a group during our meetings here. We did send out an updated list along with the agenda, which just kind of put everything into one big large spreadsheet rather than all the separate tabs, asked all of the agencies to go through and just review to see if there's any other pieces that we missed or parts that we needed to update on this. I am gonna ask Bruce to do a share screen and call the document up, and then we'll kind of go through each agency. First off, obviously like to, you know, really hit any, you know, minor changes type of thing there rather than dwelling into specifics over how we're gonna deal with a certain topic. We wanna try to get this report finalized, because our next step will be kind of going through prioritizing and then the action type pieces of doing that. So it's really making sure that this report, or our spreadsheet rather, is complete, so that way we can move over. And I do want to note for the record that Lori has joined us. So welcome, Lori. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm sorry I'm late.
That's not a problem. We know conflicting meetings and times, everything else. So we're glad you could join us.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Martin, I'm getting a message that the host has disabled participant screen sharing.
Okay. I think I just changed that.
Let me try, because I'm too old to deal with additional hurdles.
I just added on to multiple participants, so hopefully that...
It should be coming up now.
Yes, it is. Modern technology. So I think, you know, the East Way is kind of going through each of our agencies to see if anyone has any particular need to do, and then we can kind of do a quick overall if people have things that they want to bring up. Doug from Deep, do you have items? I know you had sent something earlier, I believe, to Eric. Unfortunately, you know, can't be with us here, but you had a couple of items potentially you wanted to mention.
Yes, I did. Just one. And it is at the bottom of the list.
Which number?
What's that?
Give the charge number. That way we can call it up on the screen.
Yes, I was about ready to do that.
Sorry. Thanks.
Okay. 1.02B as in boy. But I just wanted to make sure you knew it was, even though in section one at the bottom. Yeah, there you go. And as far as, so this has to do with, and I'm having trouble reading, but so small, identify areas where additional indicator sites are needed, real-time stream and groundwater gauges, and maintain the existing stream gauges and groundwater stations. And this has our agency as a responsible agency. And I'm aware that we weren't going to be including our consulting agencies in that column for responsibility. So I just want to call attention to the fact that the word maintain might not be accurate here for DEEP, because it's USGS that actually maintains the gauges. And so I am going to propose that we change some language here. And instead of the word maintain, put in continue support for, just to make it clear that we don't have responsibility for maintaining, although we do fund many of these gauges substantially.
So continue support for.
Yeah. You got
okay.
It.
Okay. Yep. No, that makes sense, Doug. And I know in our first column there too, we do mention, you know, coordinating with USGS. So I think that adds better clarification there too. So, right.
Yeah, sorry. I got booted out of the meeting, John Mullaney from USGS. I don't know if I missed a question or not, but.
No, we were just assigning you work.
Okay, well, that's what I also get worried about that as well. But hey, while I have 1 second, I wanted to step back a little to my comments about the groundwater levels and what Bruce said. In looking back at my application, I have it set for we don't have any wells that were in like there. Everything was pretty much in stage one, you know, what would be stage one on our drought plan. But I would like to correct what I said, because there were a number of wells that were below normal last month. They just don't meet our, you know, criteria yet.
Great, thanks. Does that cover, Doug, and then you set with 102B?
I am, that's okay. It. And that was really the only thing.
Great, okay.
Yeah, after Corinne and I reviewed the whole thing, Corinne Fitting, my supervisor, that was really the only thing that popped out. So,
okay, terrific. Kudos. Nope, that's great. Then we'll move on to a desk. Doug, do you guys have anything? Doug Glocky.
Oh, sorry about that. We're calling the other Doug.
Sorry.
we don't. I mean, I scanned it very quickly. Everything looks good. So I don't have anything on that topic. And I will admit I'm doing double duty right now. So.
Why, is there a storm coming, Doug?
yes.
Well, I appreciate that you could even join us because I do understand having sat in EOC for many a storms over my tenure, so I completely understand your role and everything. And if you do have to jump off, completely understand.
Tomorrow's storm is that we're going to get a lot of rain, which is going to wash all the treatment off the roads, followed by sleet and temperatures dropping below freezing, which could create a skating rink. So that's what they're nervous about.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, Doug.
Yep, you're welcome.
Lori, DPH.
Well, thank you. We have quite a few assignments. Steve and I started reviewing. We did not, to be honest, we did not get through everything that we needed to talk about internally. Steve, if you want to pipe up, and we talked about, in particular, the item, and I don't know which item it is. I don't have the numbers memorized, but the issue of the municipal ordinance, which I brought up to the Water Planning Council a couple of days back. I don't know exactly, Bruce, which number that one is.
It's I think in the that charge 3 section.
Okay.
I think it's 3.01.
I see it there.
I think it's 3.01. Yep.
Yeah.
I think it spans a few of those down.
Yep. Yes. Yes. And I think a lot of this stuff is really very key. This ordinance has been, the idea has been around for a long time. There's only a handful of towns that actually have an ordinance. I don't know of anyone who has used our model and actually adopted it. The town of Simsbury is one of the more, latest town that has adopted their own ordinance. And here it says agency responsible, DPH and others. I don't think we're going to be able to take this on our own. And I think that this is a big effort. So, and it ties deeply in to, and we're going to need a lot of input from PURA and how this intersects with operational rules. We're going to need a lot of help with local health directors and regional planners. This is a very big effort, and there's a reason why it hasn't worked. It's because towns are every town is different, as we know. We know and love our towns, right? So every one of them is going to have a little bit different nuance to this type of thing. So how we roll this forward, I think, is going to be important. But it's also going to be a big effort. And frankly, I'm concerned about staff and about effort here. So we should talk more about this one. And this flows into the next, a lot of it has to do with what, what Doug and his team are doing and the team, getting towns more involved and having these municipal drought staff identified is really important, but also a big tie-in is this municipal ordinance. What does this mean to public water, but also to private wells? So, one thing, Martin, I was thinking is that maybe this could be assigned as part of implementation. The implementation group to think about under the Water Planning Council, and then possibly assigned to a work team. So that's one way to get this started. Because if it sits on DPH's plate alone, I don't have anybody to assign this to.
Right, Laurie, I agree with you. I made a note on my cheat sheet here on here about saying, you know, it should go. I mean, it actually even mentions a task force, everything else. You know, yeah. We as an interagency group can't do that anyways. So it's kind of like, and I know the next one, 3.02, actually, you know, we refer back to, you know, WPC as well, even though DPH is listed there as well, you know, on it, that some of these are outside of our realm as a drought work group to be able to do.
Right.
And so I think if we change this as agency responsibility and put it as the WPC, that this one gets sent back to them, whether they do it as a task force or looking at, you know, a further guidance, it's kind of outside the realm of the drought work group, which is why we're not including it as something to be implemented into the drought plan. So I think I would agree with that. Bruce? Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the previous efforts, two things. One of the first things I did when I came to OPM, I was assigned to distribute the original drought plan model thing, or the drought ordinance model to the municipalities, and it landed with a thud. I heard from almost no one. I mean, seriously, it went to every CEO, and I doubt I received three responses. I know one was the first selectman of one of the Litchfield Hills towns, and he couldn't see a need for it because they have an aquifer and everybody's on a well. But more importantly, Len DeYoung, formerly of Aquarian, formerly an advisory group member and executive director at the Pomperog, while he was still at the Pomperog, he led an effort to try to get the town of Southbury, one of our more open-minded towns regarding water use, he tried to get them to adopt the thing. And the tale of his woes and struggles, which failed, I think would be very instructive. The hoops he tried to jump through to get it to happen, and he couldn't make it happen, even with all the credibility he carries, the focused effort, the backing of the first selectman, backing of his organization, and so on. It's a really difficult challenge. And I'm wondering if before, like, pushing it out to the IWG or a new work group or something, if it might be worthwhile seeing if he would be willing to participate in a planning council meeting and maybe do a little presentation on what he tried and what he thinks is necessary. The only peril in doing that is he's now working in the consulting side of things, and you know, it might put him in an awkward position depending on what his company is looking to do or what various clients of his might be wanting to do. But I think that the planning council, before taking any next step, ought to look into the history so they realize where some of the impediments are, because I don't think just trying to assign it to a work group is necessarily going to be effective.
Well, thanks, Bruce, for that. And that we can definitely, you know, touch base when, you know, forwarding this along to them. Maria?
And good afternoon, this is Maria from Piura. And actually, I have a question for Rory, because she just mentioned Piura a few minutes ago. How Piura should add to municipal ordinances? Would be through regulated water companies, or Rory, you see this somehow differently? I would just like to hear some clarification on it. Thank you.
Well, here's the thing, and this is, there's many reasons, like for Bruce's point, and I remember talking to Len about this. I'll get to your question in a moment. It's a circle. I'll come back. So I've been around for a long time with all of this, and I was with Dale Levasseur when this started. And we thought it was a good effort at that moment in time, as Bruce mentioned. We drafted it. We thought it would be adopted. Some towns feel threatened by it. Some towns have 90% private wells, very few public water systems. So they don't see it. Some towns don't see a need for it. You know, they don't have a basic understanding of what we're doing at the state level. So they don't understand how it will work. And what, to me, they have no idea why they even need this. So I think Len spent a lot of time trying to answer all of those questions. And I think that there was a lot of people that were threatened by this. Why does the state want us to do this? And we don't see the need. I think we have a lot of education to do ahead of all of this. We can't just throw it out there and see what will stick. I think there's a lot of educational part of what we've been doing over the last year with updating this plan. I think, you know, we take this out and we share it with maybe the Council of Governments, and we talk to Council of Governments, and we talk to municipalities, and how all of this works in the time of, you know, the 2016-2017 drought was a good example. The town of Darien, the town of Stamford, the town of Greenwich, and the town of New Canaan, right? Know them, love them, they're all different, right? You got a major city, you got some of the most wealthy towns in the country, right? And you have different local health directors. Each one of those towns has a different local health director. The local health directors have to get directly involved when you're talking about limitations. Along comes Aquarian at those times in those meetings with the mayors and the first selectmen during that drought was, okay, Aquarian has these operational rules. They're going to implement those rules. They're going to tell you, okay, cut back this, cut back that. They have the rules that PURA approves. That's not the entire town. It's not the entire city of Stamford. They don't serve public water everywhere in each one of those towns. And as you got into Darien and New Canaan, it was less and less. There were more private wells than public water. So the towns would say, all right, what are we going to do with the private well owners and the people that weren't served by Aquarian, that are not under the PURA approved operational rules? That's where they started to see the need during that time. They saw the need for a municipal ordinance. Greenwich had one. You know, Greenwich is the model. It's been out there a long time. But was what Greenwich has, does it work for other towns? Not necessarily. Stamford, I think, drafted a municipal ordinance at that time. I'm not sure if it actually passed. Darien started one, so did New Canaan, but they could not get it passed. But they started to realize it only because they were in the middle of it. And they knew that they couldn't take Aquarian's operational rules and apply it to other public water systems in their town, as well as other people who owned and operated private wells. So there's my circular answer. And you know, so the people that were involved in those discussions with the mayor of Stamford and the first selectman of Greenwich and the first select people of New Canaan and Darien, they started to understand the need for a municipal ordinance. And it really took it to that level to be able to have those chief elected officials just get it. You know, who was involved in those meetings was Denise Savigno. And she is now, you know, very extremely helpful to our implementation groups. And between her and Len and the people that have worked on this historically, and also new people, the people in Norwalk, the people in Simsbury. Norwalk has an emergency city ordinance. Simsbury, in the last 3 or 4 years, adopted a municipal ordinance. So I think we should, you know, Martin, maybe the Water Planning Council, we could talk about this next meeting and talk about how we could bring people to the table. And in our drought work group last year and the years in the past, you know, when we've held workshops, we actually listened to the Connecticut section sustainability workshops that we've held. We listened to a presentation from a gentleman from Simsbury who actually talked about the development of that ordinance. So I think it's going to take an effort. And that's why I said a work group underneath the Water Planning Council to start thinking this through and putting together the team that would need to start thinking how to address this, because it's not just one individual trying to get it or one individual agency. So,
right. No, I agree, Laurie. Doug, I'll get to you in 1 second. So, Bruce, under that 3.01, can you put agency responsibility as WPC?
Instead of DPH?
Yeah, instead of DPH and others, because that's one we're going to send to, you know, back to WPC. I mean, obviously, then we'll go from there because it talks, you know, task force, everything else, you know, on that, which will probably, you know, so we can correct. Thank you. Doug?
You stole my thunder. Oh, okay. I was just, that was one of the things I wanted to just cut to the quick and I think it's appropriate to put WPC there. And also I just wanted to call attention to the existing drought management plan, drought management response plan that we have at the state. The model ordinance as it existed under the old one was put back in the new one in Appendix B with a note. And that note ends with the sentence, the Water Planning Council intends to reconsider this model ordinance during implementation of the state drought plan. So I think we're already on record with that, and it's a pretty safe revision here.
Great. Now, thanks. Thank you. I think it's probably going to probably be almost the same. I know Laurie's on the phone a moment, but under 3.02, where it talks recommendation, the Water Planning Council should confirm. I think we labeled it the same WPC and others under the agency responsibility.
Yes.
I think that Thank was going to be Laurie's next comment when you mentioned both of those.
You read my mind.
Is that both of those, you know, kind of coincide with each other? So that's got to go back to either be a task force or WPC to kind of handle and give us direction on. So
agreed.
But didn't mean agreed. To steal your thunder, Laurie. I thought.
Please, you read my mind, Martin. Thank you. And so, Martin, your label is as Eric, by the way.
Oh, you didn't. I'm covering for Eric today, doing the whole meeting here. So I had to log in under him and I didn't bother changing the name. So,
all right.
I'm being incognito, so no one can say that there I said it.
Perfect.
Eric gets all the blame.
Since we segued into 302, I just wanted to highlight there under the recommendation language, it does mention specifically enforce, implement and enforce. And, you know, that's the other thorny issue that is always going to come up when we're talking about a model ordinance. That is who enforces any violations. And that may just very well take up half of the workshop or whatever have here planned with the Water Planning Council or the implementation work group.
Yep.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, I think a lot of, you know, the word enforce, it started, you know, again, back to 2016, the town started to realize they had to take on enforcement and that they had to be in concert. When I said they, it really fell on the local health directors to say, we need a municipal ordinance to be able to drive around and tell them, shut their well off, like shut their irrigation system off. You know, if you're on a private well system and you have Aquarian right next door, Aquarian serves this house, person on a private well is over here and they're watering the heck out of their grass, right? But there's an overall call for conservation in 2 days, right? Because Aquarian has that 2 day thing, 2 day watering. Person on the private well needs to be doing the same thing as the person next door who's on Aquarian. And a lot of this enforcement, and Doug, I'm glad you brought this up. It came up. Who's going to enforce that 2 day watering thing? You, Aquarian? And Aquarian said, yes. And they did. They put, if you were people who were around at that time, remember they put the signs up on people's lawns that they were in violation? I mean, that was enforcement. That was real enforcement. It was embarrassing to people who had those signs on their front lawn. Now you got to do the same thing for people who have a private well or who are in a different public water system that are regulated not by PURA, but that are regulated by us. You know, so that's where the municipal ordinance comes in. And Doug, I'm glad you brought that up. Enforcement is critical. I have a feeling towns don't want anything to do with that. And that's why it's tough.
Oops. Lori, do you want to continue on with other notes that you have?
Let's see. Steve, what else did we get to? I know we didn't get to much other items.
So I think charge one, and let me look at the exact charge, is I think 1.04, and it's really just an update.
Yeah.
From probably our last meeting, where the online data portal for entering Connecticut's reservoir and groundwater measurements has been moving forward. Mm-hmm. I've been working with NIDIS, Sylvia, and the Northeast Regional Climate Center with Art and a young man named Ben who has been designing it. And I have been given login credentials for it, and I logged in and it looks really good, and we're moving forward to putting in some data to do some testing, and so that project is moving forward. So that's just kind of an update for 1.04. I think that's about as far as we got, Lori. We were going to start on, I think, four on charge four, but we did not get there.
We did not get there. So that's, we apologize. We didn't have enough time to continue on. But those are the big ones. That's a big update. You know, Steve's progress is amazing here. And we really look forward to getting that online. Steve, do we have a timeline, would we say, or not yet?
I don't have a timeline. I know it's moving pretty quickly right now. So, but we hadn't really actually discussed the timeline. Maybe.
Okay. Thank you.
But he's been working on it. I've been in communication with him, with Ben, probably every single week since we started. So.
Perfect.
No, that's thank great, Lori and Steve. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Move on. Simon, I don't know if you have anything from DOAG.
No, nothing of note, no comments at this time, but I'll keep you updated as I keep kind of, I'm still starting to work with the agency management and the commissioner on our comments and everything. So I'll keep you updated.
No, I appreciate that. I know it's coming in kind of towards the end of all, you know, through this process too. So it's getting caught up to speed on everything as well.
It's not a bad time. It's pretty manageable so far. So
yeah, that's good.
No problems.
Yeah, that's because you're not in growing season yet.
Yeah, we're getting there. It'll happen.
Perfect. At this point, does anyone else have any comments of if you've reviewed this, something we missed, an error, anything else that anyone wants to make note of? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone else raise hands. Okay, so we'll finalize, you know, kind of this listing. Obviously, if you've got something else, you know, within the next week, if you can just get it to Eric and Bruce, if there is something that we missed or you've had a chance to kind of glance through that, you know, it's kind of our working document, if you will. So at least we've gotten through all the charges. Some of our next steps will be kind of, and why we have it kind of in an Excel format here, so we can kind of prioritize, you know, between those that need further review, these things that we're not going to include, which things are, you know, more priority immediate level, or which things are future. So we can start looking at, you know, short list of items that we can say, hey, here's, you know, some things that we can put into the plan immediately, make some adjustments and do a quick revision. And then these are things that are going to be 6 months or a year out. And we do another kind of update, you know, to the plan. And then some things are going to be more longer term that might need, you know, such as we were just talking about having the Water Plan Council have to take, you know, maybe a task force to handle that thing with the model ordinance. This is going to take a longer piece, but at least we can get a report back to the Water Planning Council and the other drought work group that reviewed everything, kind of see if they have any additional input on it, and then kind of start sorting things out and making a plan for our next steps would be kind of the recommended plan moving forward. Any comments on those thoughts?
Martin, this is Bruce. I have lost my ability to raise my hand to put up a little orange hand. I don't know why, but anyway.
I still allow you to do it. I didn't stop you.
Okay. I was uncertain, but one thing I wanted to bring up, because we're talking about, the short-term versus medium-term versus long-term kinds of things on this spreadsheet, are that this spreadsheet is locked in on that other work group's report that came out whenever it was, a year, 2 years ago. And there will be other things that people from agencies might feel should also be addressed in the drought plan. And they may not be things that can be handled real quickly because we haven't invested this time in them, but that maybe in the medium term and long term that agencies want to bring up. And I just wanted to toss out one that's my own thing that, Martin and I have talked about it, Eric, Martin and I should say. And that is the notion that I believe that the stage one in the current drought plan no longer really provides a whole lot of value. And I would suggest that the agencies give some consideration to whether we need it. It's a very preliminary kind of thing that involves reaching out to like local coordinators and various things that to some extent are almost automatic anyway. And with the folks at Demis already working on updating that list of local coordinators on, kind of a regular basis. They set it up last year, they're updating it now this year. That perhaps we could get away from that stage one because it would avoid the need for going through the whole rigmarole of doing an announcement and going through the public official kind of stuff. And so I'm not saying that's something to tackle immediately. I'm just using it as an example of the kinds of things that agencies ought to be thinking about. Are there things not addressed in that other report that you think this group should consider as it's looking ahead towards updating the report in the, say, medium and long term?
Oh, and great, Bruce. Thank you for noting that. I do know, just as a quick note, not in its full extent of what Bruce just implied, but under 1.03, we do in the notes have a thing that says, take a look at stage one. So we do have it noted in this report at least, but there's definitely, broader piece than just obviously that quick little note we put in here. And to Bruce's point, I think it is good that if people found, other than these recommendations, obviously, as we are going through this, is there, some other best practices? Are there other things that, these recommendations didn't come up with that we want to look at? And definitely that we want to consider those as well and put those into this whole mix. So thanks, Bruce, for bringing that up.
And I do want to highlight that the take a look at the note at the end of 1.03, that I don't believe has ever been discussed by this group in these past months. That was something Eric and I put in there as a reminder to ourselves. So it is not ready for a quick attack by anyone. It would need to be considered by the group.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yes. Great. Any other thoughts, comments from anybody? Okay. Bruce, you can save that document and stop sharing the screen if you'd like. There we go. Terrific. With that then, open it if anyone has any public comment. You can raise your hand or come off mute and just identify yourself.
Martin, Bob Kenny, how are you? Good, good. Just a quick update to dovetail off what Bruce just said. We have sent out through the five Demis regional offices a request for update on the municipal drought liaison contacts. And we are getting good responses from the town. I do expect that we will have to be doing some maintenance on that next week to follow up with the towns that have not responded. For situational awareness, we did ask for confirmation or the changed name. We did not. So we asked for a response from everyone. Either tell us that it's the same person or tell us who it is now. And so that's all being coordinated through my office in Region 1. So the five regional offices sent it out, but the point of contact, and many thanks to my secretary, Brenda Thibodeau. She's the one that's putting it all together and keeping a master list updated. So as soon as that's complete, I'll let everybody know.
Terrific. Thank you very much. And I did, I appreciate the follow-up on that. Thanks, Bob.
Yep.
Is there any other public comment? Okay. Then under other business, our next scheduled meeting is March 3rd. Month from today. I don't have any other business on our agenda.
March 3rd is a day that probably Steve Harkey and I will not be able to attend.
Okay.
Due to another conflict. So I don't know. We don't have to be here, obviously. You don't have to change things for us, but I just wanted to make sure that you're aware.
Okay. I'll make note of it, and we can, touch base where we're at, whether we want to, cancel that and have a special meeting, on it, or we'll, we can do that. But I thank you for that, Lori, just so that way we're aware of it ahead of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
With that, if there's no other further business, I would take a motion to adjourn at 2:48.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Doug Hoskins.
Thank you, Doug. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Thank you all very much. Stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks, Martin.